Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, beloved ones. This is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba with my wife, Tarina Mwamba, here in Dallas, Texas, the United States of America, broadcasting live here on Blog Talk Radio on the Mwamba World Outreach School of Ministry. I welcome you all to this teaching today. And it gives me great pleasure to know that our Bible school is moving on with great strength, God blessing us mighty by the anointing of the Holy Spirit that's upon the teachings that we are receiving. You see, I'm a pastor, teacher, a bishop, ordained of God to teach the word of the Lord. And I've been teaching for many, many, many years. I taught in Zambia. I had a breakthrough radio program that was broadcast to almost some 2.5 million people across Africa. See, Zambia National Broadcasting Corporation, I was on Channel 2, and the broadcasts would cover Botswana, would go even to Zimbabwe, South Africa, depending how you tune in to the waves. And so I was reaching a big, big, big number of people. And now God has again resuscitated my teaching here on radio. I'm on Blog Talk Radio, broadcasting. Now we have over 8,000 listeners around the world. It's a blessing to teach because, you see, the teaching of the word strengthens your faith. Where there is no teaching, people are in ignorance. And, you know, God winks at ignorance in a sense because he says ignorance has got no excuse. If you are ignorant of the word, it's your fault because there are so many Bible helps that are there in bookshops. You can go there, buy at any one given time. You can go and buy a Bible. Can go by what we call Bible helps, which are Bible dictionary, Bible commentary, and you can get these things at a very good price. So you are without excuse if you are ignorant in the things of God. You can teach yourself. See, I've been teaching myself. When I left seminary in Massachusetts at the Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary, I was doing a master's degree program. I continued buying books, and I'm still buying books to build my library. The professors there at the seminary told us, you are getting preliminary books, books that, you know, you use at the school, at the seminary, textbooks. But then you have to build your own library. And that's what I've done over the years. I've been building my library by God's grace. And, you know, God has given me a burden to reach the world for Jesus Christ through the teaching of the Word of God, as I'm doing here on air. I am gifted as a teacher, and we are running an online school. We have students in London. We have students in Africa, in Zambia, in South Africa. We have students here in the United States of America. We have students in New York. We have students spread out in Kenya, in Uganda, in Tanzania, and in Malawi. God is building an army, and the devil is not going to stop it. The students do a one-year program. After 1 year, they're going to get a diploma in theology and Bible ministries. Then we're going to have graduation ceremonies, which are going to be held in Zambia and here in the United States of America at the Embassy Suites Hotel here in Dallas. And those who can make it to this ceremony, they'll have to make it and come and join us. By God's grace, we're expecting a great time as the Lord is going to bless us greatly. You know what? We are here today looking into the Word of God. And I'd like us to share from the Word of God in the book of Genesis, reading from verse 1 to 7. Now, the theme of my message, the title of my message today, if you saw it on the internet, it says Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba presents, My Spirit Shall Not Strive with Man. Now, this was the word spoken by God because of the sin of the people. God said, My Spirit shall not always strive with man. I'd like to read from the Word of God before we move on so you can know where we are. The Bible says, And it came to pass, when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God saw that the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives of all. Now, what does it mean that they were fair? That word fair simply means they were beautiful to look at. And the Bible tells us here that, and they took them wives of all which they chose. Now, who are these sons of God? These sons of God actually were angels. And you know, there is a divide between this world we live in and the world of angels. Angels are not allowed to come into this world and materialize as human beings and marry. See, with the angels are not given in marriage. You see, angels don't multiply. Angels don't get pregnant. Angels don't give birth to baby angels. They are no baby angels. The angels that God created, that number is still the same, because angels are never given in marriage. They never marry, nor are given in marriage. You know, he said, Bishop, how do you know that? Well, you remember when Jesus was talking about the answering a question to the people who asked him? They said, Lord, who is going to be my wife in the next kingdom? Am I going to find my wife in the next kingdom or my husband? Jesus said, in the next kingdom where we are going, we are going to be like angels who neither are given in marriage or marry. See? So our bodies are going to be glorified, and we shall be at the level of angels, and we are not going to be given into marriage. Okay, so that tells you angels do not marry. Okay? Now, in this particular case, angels sinned against God. Excuse me. They sinned against God in the sense that they desired the daughters of men. They liked or envied or lusted after the daughters of men. Now, it's very strange that these angels have got feelings. Yes, they do. You know, angels are messengers. Angels are there, angels which are warring angels, which go fight the battle on behalf of God and fight against the wicked angels. You know, the downfall of Satan. And Michael, with his angels, fought the devil. You see, God was not there to fight the devil. The devil is too small for God to fight him, because God created the devil. You understand? But he released his warring angel, the archangel Michael, with his angels, and they fought the devil and cast him out of heaven. But you know, there came a time when these angels envied and wanted to have sexual relationship with the daughters of men because they were fair. And so they condescended, that they left their first estate, as the Bible says in the book of Jude, that they left their first estate. What does it mean to leave your first estate? They left the estate of holiness, the estate where God had placed them, and condescended. What do I mean by condescend? They came down to the level of us human beings and apparently materialized as human beings while they were still angels, and married daughters of men. So from that relationship, we get the giants. Now, listen to the word of God. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. Now, you can see here God cutting down the years. Now, what you must remember is that from the time of Adam, I think the Bible says, and Adam lived, I think, 810 years or something, or 610. I have to go back to scriptures and actually check the actual years that Adam lived. But Adam lived a long time, some hundreds of years. But you see, after the fall of man, because Adam and Eve, they ate of the forbidden fruit, they were supposed to live forever. At that time, lifespans were long. You know, you hear of Enoch, that Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. There were people like Meshach, not Meshach, you know, there were people like, if I get to the scripture here so you can see, it says very clearly that we have all these generations of great men who lived for a long, long time. And it says of them that they lived a very long life. I'm trying to look at the scripture here so that I can give you a clarity. Now, let's move on. Let's see here in Genesis. And let's see here. Genesis and, let me see. Chapter number, let me see in chapter number 10. Okay, well, the point I want you to know is that men at that time lived a very long life. You know, they never died like people now live 70 years and that's it. No, they lived a very long time. Like I said, like right here in Genesis chapter number 5. It tells us here that Adam had Seth, okay? That was one of his children. The Bible says he lived for 912 years, and he died. See, I'll read there in Genesis 5, verse 6. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enoch. And Seth lived after he begat Enoch, which is Enoch, 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. You see that? Like I was saying here with Abraham, it says there of him, of Adam, I'm sorry. It says, and in the book of the generations, that's Genesis 5 verse 1, this is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam, after he had begotten Seth, were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Adam that he lived were 930 years, and he died. So Adam lived for 930 years, and he died. Enos, which was Enoch, lived 1990 years, and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years and he died. So Enos lived for 905 years and he died. Now this is a different Enos, not the Enoch, but Enos, because Enoch walked with God and he was not, for God took him. Now Canaan, here it tells us in Genesis chapter 5, verse 12, and Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan lived after he begat Mahalalel 840 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. So Canaan lived for 910 years, and he died. Then we have Mahalalel. This Mahalalel lived for 895 years. Then we have Jared. Jared lived for 962 years. Then we have Enoch. This Enoch, that's what it says, and Enoch lived 605 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah. And 300 years, and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 360 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. This is the man I'm saying God took him. So we have all these accounts, like Enoch himself, Methuselah lived for 969 years, and he died. Lamech lived for 777 years and he died. Noah lived for 950 years and he died. See what I'm saying? But then as the years went, you see, because of the sin, they ate of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, which was actually the tree of death, their life expectancy was declining. In because the virtue that was there in them to live forever was dying out. When we get to this particular chapter of chapter 6, where these angels now are desiring to sleep with daughters of men because they were fair, God cuts the years of man to 120 years. Now, these days, if you live up to 120 years, you are so blessed, dear brother or sister. If you live 120 years now, you are very blessed. You know, people talk about a miracle when they see a person today live the actual years, 120 years, which you can because that's what God gave us. Some people will go a little bit over, 120, it might be 130, you know, but mostly we are within the range of 100. 90, the people are saying you're very old. 91, 92, 98, you're very old. When they look at you, they know you're headed to the grave, as it were, or to see the Lord, as it were, for us who are born again. And that's why it's important, you know, as the years advance, to think seriously about your end. Some people don't like to think about it. Don't like to think about the end like it will never come. The end will come. Excuse me. You just have to soberly think about it. Plan properly. Know that you're going to meet the Messiah, you know, and then work hard so that you are properly rewarded by the Lord, okay? But anyway, in this case, the angels cohabited with daughters of men, and from that relationship was born. Children who were born were actual giants. Giants. That's why the Bible tells us there in verse 4 of Genesis and chapter 6, it says, there were giants in the earth in those days. And also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same became mighty men, which were of old men of renown. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, what we must remember here is that these angels broke the protocol, or broke the design of God, broke the planning of God. They left their first estate and came down into this world, which is only given to sons of men. Human beings are authorized to operate in the earth lawfully and be given in marriage and bear children as it was. Angels are not allowed to have a crossbreed between an angel and a human being. When they did that, they sinned against God. This was a grave sin. And that's why the Lord said in verse number 3, and the Lord said, my spirit shall not always strive with man, for that he also is flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. You know, and you know, the Lord says his thoughts are evil continually, thinks of evil continually. You know, you need to control what you think. Even today, you as a child of God, even as a man of God, you know, we need to control our thoughts because the devil works through our thoughts. Now, why did these angels do what they did? Theologically speaking, theologians have gone through this and studied the acts of these angels, and they found that the plan was hatched by the devil to do away with the pure Adamite stock. You can read that in 1 Peter chapter number 3, verse 19, and also 2 Peter chapter number 2 and verse 4. You can also read that in Jude. You know, Jude is only one book. Jude, verse 6 to 7. Now, why did these angels do that? Like I said, the devil hatched a plan to do away with the pure Adamite stock. What does pure Adamite stock mean? You see, Adam was about 6 foot tall. These giants were over 10 to 12 feet tall. God did not create man 12 to 10 to 12 feet tall. No, he created an Adam who was about 6 foot tall, 5 feet plus, you know. The reason of by hatching this plan was to do away with the Adamite stock. Why? You see, the one who sinned was Adam, and he was 5 foot plus or 6 foot. So the devil knew that God was sending somebody to crush his head, to take away his authority. And so he hatched a plan to defile the seed of the woman. Because you see, once an angel has that sexual relationship with a human being and a giant is born, a giant did not sin. See, it was Adam who sinned, was about 6 foot tall in the Adamite stock. So when you have a giant, you are mixing up God's creation, you are mixing up the breed, you are mixing up the Adamite stock, and it wouldn't count if a giant came and said, I'm dying for mankind. See, there are courts in heaven. The courts of heaven where the angels are, where the elders are, where the Spirit of the Lord is, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. They will look at the whole thing and say, no, this is not justified. Even if an angel, a giant, had to die for mankind, his death would never be accepted in heaven. You understand? Because the one who sinned was an Adam. Adam, human being made of dust. So when these angels came, because it was a plan hatched by the devil to defile the Adamite, you know, seed, he was planning to do away with the redemption of mankind. And I tell you what, if these devils succeeded in getting all these women pregnant and have this generation change from Adam to giants, there will be no salvation. Because God cannot send his son to be born of a giant. That's why, you see, when God was giving the land to the children of Israel, he said, I give you the land of Canaan. This was the land of giants. The Rephaims, the Naphilims, and all these giants. That's why the people say, "Woo! We went in the land and we found the land. It was full of giants." And most of the 10 tribes cried out to Moses and said, we are not able to go up and take the land. It was only Joshua and Caleb who said, no, you people, be quiet. We are well able to go and take the land. Why was God giving them the land of Canaan? God was giving them the land of Canaan so they could get rid of these giants. You know the story. The giants were destroyed and the land reverted back to the children of God, and it became the land of Canaan. It became the promised land for Israel. See that? You remember the fight that was there between David and Goliath? Goliath was not a normal human being. He was not like 6 foot tall. This guy was some 12 feet tall. He was a giant. And David, using the power of the word of God and the anointing upon his life, killed the giant. Because, you know, the Bible said he had defied the armies of the living God. Now, listen. Today, we have an assignment from the Lord to propagate and spread the gospel around the world. And let me tell you what. We're going to do it and we're going to win. There are no more giants anymore, as I can see. We have people who are very tall now. They play basketball and they do all these things. They are not giants. They're just human beings whose hormones maybe have shot up and they become very tall. But they are from the Adamic seed. Giants are normal. As you can, when you read the book of Genesis 6, God sent a judgment. That's why he told Noah to get into the ark. And he destroyed every life that remained on the earth, including them giants. And I want to assure you, my friend, that God does not play games with people who play with his covenant. God does not play games with those who try to play games with him. God is not a game player. God is a holy God. He says, be ye holy, as I, the Lord your God, am a holy God. And I can assure you, we are on an assignment on which we're going to win. But it will take you and me being committed to doing the will of God. So here we see in Genesis and chapter number 6, how that these devils wanted to defile the seed so that the Christ would not come. In a similar way, the devil works night and day to let you and me be defiled so that God cannot use us. You say, Bishop Mwamba, how can I be defiled? You get defiled when you sin and live a sinful life and you become unholy. Because when you're not holy, God cannot use you. You understand? Because God said, be ye holy, as I, the Lord your God, am a holy God. In one place, David said, we shall ascend unto the mountain of the Lord. He answered himself, he says, them that have got clean hands. What is to have clean hands? Clean hands simply means you are holy. Now, one thing you must know, you cannot fight to be holy. It's not a war to be holy. It's a lifestyle. You just live obeying God. Holiness will take care of itself when you start to separate yourself from the things that defile, from the things that displease God. It's a lifestyle. You don't have to battle, crack your head about it. You know, people say, oh, I'm going to live a holy life. Oh, gee, I need to live. They crack their head. You don't need to crack your head, beloved one. You just need to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not unto your own understanding. In all thy ways, acknowledge him. And he shall direct thy path. The Bible tells us as we worship God, as we walk as children of God, as we acknowledge the presence of God, guess what happens? We walk in the path that God wants us to walk. Holiness takes care of itself. You don't have to struggle, I got to be holy. No, people, you know, when you separate yourself, you know, like from drinking and from adulteries, from fornication and all these other things, stealing and whatever, evil thoughts, as you do that, it will become a lifestyle. You don't have to struggle to abstain from these things. It becomes part of you to just ignore these things that they never existed. You are recreated anew. You never have a desire to drink. You never have a desire to go after the wind, like the Bible said. Then you reap the whirlwind. You don't have a desire. You get transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God. It transforms you because the impact of the Word of God will be transmitted into your body. Your body will start to behave as you think. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. It's very easy. All you gotta do is think about the holiness of God. All you gotta do is think about the things of God. Then all these other things will take care of themselves. You see what I mean? So you don't have to bow. Oh, I got to live a holy life. Oh, I'm going to sin. I'm going to fall. I'm going to lose holiness. It's not like that, my friend. It's a lifestyle. Once you live that lifestyle, you forget. You become a different person. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old, old things are passed away. And behold, all things have become new. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17. You know, this is Bishop Dr. Lawrence Mwamba here in Dallas with my wife, Tarina Mwamba. We are encouraging you to walk faithfully before the Lord. And I can assure you, as you do, God will reward you for you just living a holy life. There is a reward for holiness. You get blessings, you get giftings, you get used of God. God will use you. You'll be a person on the cutting edge for the kingdom of God. Amen. And so, well, my baby, I'll be talking to you shortly. We have a Bible school. I want you to be part of this Bible school. All you have to do is go to Word of Life Bible College on Facebook and indicate that you want to be part and parcel of the Bible school. And guess what? When I see your name, I shall include you in the Bible College, and you can continue to study with us for 1 year. In December, you graduate with a diploma in theology and Bible ministries. God bless you. This is Bishop Mwamba signing off and saying God bless you. See you again, and bye-bye.